That's right.
Okay, Candace, come on, you got a light over there, I see a light. And the blue box is lighted up, so. All right, go ahead.
You know, sometimes when you're in situations and you feel restless because it's something just not right, most of the time, all you need to do is just rest in God. Let Him deal with it, let Him take care of whatever the situation is. And that's the reason why we worship and we praise Him, because He is always here. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
This one's called Restless. Amen.
Thank you.
Dwell in the places we are singing, rising to the heavens, rising to your heart, our praises, filling up the spaces in between our weakness, everything you are the keeper of my.
Yes.
You are the keeper of my heart. Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Thank you, Candace. You know, that was taken from Hebrews 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. It talks about the rest of God.
I did a study one time. I was down at the lake, and the Lord got me on Hebrews 3 and 4. I had no idea why, but He showed me. And I learned that rest is recess. Y'all remember having recess in school?
Oh, wow.
Right? That bell rung. Boy, teacher better not be standing in the doorway. Boom! You know, everybody's gone, you know. I mean, you know, you're standing in the doorway, boom, you're in bad trouble. Because everybody ran out and they hit that playground. They ran hard. They played. They climbed and they swung and they...
Such a freedom.
Yeah, you know. And so I thought, that doesn't sound like rest. To an adult, it doesn't, does it? But to a kid, it was rest. Right. They were putting out more energy in those 10, 15 minutes than they had the previous hour, right? But it was all play. It was all fun.
No worries.
Right? And that's what that word rest in Hebrews means. It means an intermission, a recess. A recess. Change from what you've been doing to something else. It's fun. We need to find that rest, that recess of God, where it's recess all the time. It's fun. It's all fun. Right? It's all fun. It's not drudgery. It's fun. Okay, anyway. We're still continuing the series that we started about what happens leading up to the crucifixion. All right? And we're entering into probably my favorite passage of Scripture, close in there with Genesis 1 and Revelation 20 and 21. But this is John 14 through 16. Now, we covered John 13, what went on there with the Last Supper. And now we're in John 14, and I covered the first three verses last week, and we kind of went over those and how they related. So the last entry, if you remember, that had a table up, and he said the last entry was what? Do you remember we were comparing the parable of the pounds and the nobleman who left, right? And he says, I'm going to come again. And what he was going to do was to go and receive a kingdom, right? But he told his money managers what they were to do while he was gone, right? And I said, that's what the rest of John 14 through 16 covers, or 14 through 17, is what the disciples were to do while Jesus was gone. He says, I'm going away, but while I'm gone, this is what you're supposed to do, all right? So we're going to cover that. We're going to start in that. But you know, when Jesus wants to talk about something, there's always a distraction. Always a distraction. And that's what we're going to cover today, a distraction. Okay? We don't actually get into what he was wanting to tell them. We're going to actually have to deal with a distraction. But you know what? We can learn so much from these distractions. When Jesus speaks to a distraction, we get some really good revelation. So it's really a good thing for us. We celebrate the distractions, right? Do we celebrate our distractions in our lives? Well, we ought to. I mean, some days, if it wasn't for distractions, I wouldn't get anything done. I remember when I used to go to work and I had things, I'd sit down in the office and I was going to deal with, I had some things I wanted to do that day. And all day long, I'm answering the phone. Or, there's distractions coming up. I got to go do this, got to do that. And at the end of the day, I haven't done anything I planned to do. I'd always dealt with these distractions. I said, it's a good thing I had distractions, because otherwise I wouldn't have anything done. But anyway, so we're going to look at this. And so we got a distraction. And we had distractions in John 14, John 13, if you remember. We already covered those. So John 14, 4 through 7. And we'll read those, read that, and I'll just read that to you. John 14, 4 through 7. You can turn to there if you want to do, but you're probably very familiar with this. And if you remember, Jesus finished up. He says, I'm going to go away. All right? And then he says, in verse 4, he says, and you know the way to where I am going. Mm-hmm. Well, Thomas wasn't going to let that get by. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Thomas is very practical. I like him. He's practical. We don't even know where you're going. How are we supposed to know the way? Come on now. Get real, Jesus. All right? So Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Whoa. Well, there's a mouthful. That's a mouthful right there. You can preach. The sermons have been preached about that. One verse, one statement. And this is how he answers Thomas. Right? Well, this must have been really puzzling to Thomas. You know the way, Thomas, to where I'm going. Oh, we don't know the way. What are you talking about? We don't know the way. Jesus says, I'm the way. Yeah, but you're leaving. But you're leaving, Jesus. You said you're going. So how are we going to know the way then? Right? So what is the way? What can we learn from verse 6? What is the way? Tell me something. What is the way?
He is the way.
Yeah, okay. We established that. He is the way. But what does that mean? What is a way? What does that
mean? The path, the route.
The path, the route. Okay? Yeah. You get a map. Take your little marker and mark on the map where you're going to go. All right? That's the way you need to go. All right? Nowadays, you got your cell phones or you got your navigation system. You can punch it in and it'll tell you. You know, little lady, I'll tell you, turn at this next turn. In 2 miles, you're going to turn right or whatever, something like that. So the way is the way we're going to get to God. No one comes to the Father. He went back to, you know, he's talking about getting to the Father. Except how? He's the route. He's the navigation. He's the voice talking to us. How do we get to the Father? All right? The only way is through him or by him. Okay? Well, that speaks volumes. You know, denominations have established doctrines based on that, right? You got to be Jesus. So Jesus is the only way, right? He's our only mediator, right? What about the folks that never heard of Jesus? How are they going to get God? Jesus is the way. He's the only way. So they're left with somewhat of a conundrum, right? A mystery. How do the people over in, you know, deepest part of Africa or South America, never heard of Jesus? No one's ever walked in and read the Bible to them or, you know, preached a sermon to them. How are they going to get to the Father? That's a conundrum, isn't it? You can get yourself into all kinds of conundrums with this sort of thing. If you just take one little piece of it, one little piece. What about the truth? Tell me some. What do we know about the truth? Give me some scriptures about the truth. What's your favorite scripture about the truth?
Thy word is truth.
Thy word is truth. Okay. Good.
Truth will set you free.
Ah. Yeah. Truth will set you free. I like that. That's good. That's good. This is one I thought of. In fact, this is what you were talking about. It says in John 8:31-32, it says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him. Now this is key to me. If you abide in my word, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you. You want to be free? The truth will set you free. And then in verses 31 through 32, he says, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. A slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Everybody knows that. Free indeed. So what are we being free to? Free of? We are slaves to sin. What kind of freedom does Jesus bring us?
Free from sin.
Free from sin. That's cool. Free from sin. That mean we can stop sinning? Yeah, that's what it means. We can stop sinning. We are not a slave to sin anymore. We can choose to follow God, can't we? Amen. And a follower of Jesus who continues in his word knows the truth and he stops sinning. It may be a gradual thing. It's called a thing called we call sanctification, maturing in Christ. But, you know, the older folks that get mature in Christ, they don't commit a whole lot of sins, right? Yeah, they're too busy praising God, doing his work, right? You know? So that's about the truth. Abide in my word. If you continue in my word, I looked at a couple of commentators. They said, if you continue to obey my commandments and to receive my doctrines. Mr. Barnes said that. Continue to do that. Clark said, it is not enough to receive God's truth. We must retain and walk in it. And it is only when we receive the truth, love it, keep it, and walk in it, that we are the genuine disciples of Christ. That we'll really be free from sin. Okay, so life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. What about life? What do you know? Any verses about life?
I've come to give you life and life more abundantly.
I'm sorry?
I've come to give you life and life more abundantly.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that verse. That's a good one. Where you go, Dave? Anyone else? Anything about life?
Love is in God, in the life of God.
Okay, good. God is love. All right. Anyone else? About life.
The life of the flesh is in the blood.
There you go. In the blood. Exactly. The life of the flesh is in the blood. All right. Jesus shed his blood for us, his life. All right. And we drink his blood symbolically to receive his life in us.
Yeah. He poured out his life unto death.
Right. He poured out his life unto death. John 1. Remember John 1? In him was life. And that life was the light of men. Yeah. Exactly. Well, you know all these things. I have to come pull it out of you. All right. Well, what I want to do today is just trying to focus on the bread. Okay, since we were talking about continuing in his word, continuing in his truth, continue to study and do what he says. John 6:33, various verses here, 33 through 35 I'll start with. He's talking to the folks that he had fed, right? 5,000 he had fed. They came back for more food. I don't know. Must have been some really good fish and bread, you know. You know, free is free, right? So in verse 33 says, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always, so we don't have to worry about getting bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Said it again. Amen. I am the bread of life. Yes. He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world, I'm that one. I came down from heaven. I'm the one. Okay? I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. That's pretty good. So down in verse 51, he says, I am the living bread, life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, what do? Communion? We eat that bread, right? Eats this bread, he will live forever. Bread, life. Live forever.
Amen.
Right? And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Okay? And then, after all the crowd went away, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with no more with them. They couldn't handle this eating his flesh and drinking his blood because they didn't understand the symbolism. They thought he was really talking about his flesh and his blood. He didn't understand he was talking about symbols, all right? Talking in parables. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with them. Then said Jesus to the 12, will you also go away? Go away? We just talked about going away. Jesus just talked to them about going away. Remember we were talking in verses 1 through 3, I am going away. Well, now he's talking to his disciples. Are you going to go away like everyone else? Are you going to leave me? And I love this answer.
I do too.
Sometimes Peter nails it, doesn't he, Mary? Sometimes he just nails it. You know? And he says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You're the only one that has the words to eternal life. You're the only one by which we can receive eternal life. There's no one else we can go to. No one else has the words of eternal life. So if you say strange things, we just have to listen to them. If you say things that hurt our ears and hurt our minds, we have to accept it. Because you're the only one that's got eternal life. There's no other game in town, folks. No other game. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. He is the only game in town. He's the only route to eternal life. And this is what Peter's saying. Only one. You have the words of life. And we believe and are sure that you are that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, what is the living God? God who is living and from whom life comes to all who are living. Okay? So, less life. Eternal life. Eternal life. Now, this was a distraction. Right? When he says, I am the way, the truth, and life, he's answering the distraction. But he's bringing it right back. He brings it all right back to what he wants to talk about. Okay. So where is this life for us today? Where is that route today? Okay. How can Jesus go away and not leave us comfortless?
Holy Spirit.
You got it. You got it. That life is in us. Right? Well, the only one that's got eternal life is God, right? So the only way we're going to get eternal life is we be in
Christ.
Yeah, be in God, right? That's the way it's got to be, yeah. Okay, so, we don't have time to go over this next part. We'll just move on from later on. Next time. We'll pick it up next time. So we spent all our time on a distraction. Isn't that something? We spent all this time on a distraction.
It was good.
But it was a good distraction. I am so glad that Thomas asked that question. Aren't you?
Yeah.
Because if he hadn't asked that question, we might not have this teaching. But we know that Jesus is the way. Now, anybody got it figured out, by the way? and how you can, how all the folks over in South America, deep ancient jungles and stuff, how they can get eternal life. They've never had a teacher come by and tell them. Well, we're going to, we'll talk about it next time. But, you know, Jesus has a way to show up to people, right? That don't even know about it.
That's what's happening with our man. He's appearing to people.
That's right. Think about Cornelius, the Roman centurion, right? Peter walks in, starts to talk about Jesus, boom! Holy Spirit falls. Peter says, wow. These folks are already got it. They didn't need me to preach a long sermon. They've already got it. God, wow. Peter was surprised.
He's also appeared to people in Saudi Arabia too.
Yeah.
In their mosques. In the mosque while they pray.
Really? That's good.
Father, we thank you so much for loving us. Thank you so much for giving us your word. Let us continue in your word. Let us continue in your teaching. Continue to get truth. Because it's so important for the days to come. Your truth keeps pouring out upon us. And Father, those who grab a hold of your truth and decide to walk in it, who embrace the truth and walk in it, believe it, take action based on their beliefs, Father, you're going to see a great change in their lives and the lives of those around them. Father, we pray for the food, Father, that is prepared before us. May it nourish and strengthen our bodies. And may you speak the truth to every speaker today, every preacher in every church. Speak the truth to people. May it set people free. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.